continue to work in their hearts, and they would be able to get grounded and discipled and engaged in the Lord's work. And it's important to be able to see the follow through on that, and God would continue to have his hand upon their lives. And so pray for our youth department. I think Brother Adam and Haley and all the workers and the young people and that doing a great job for the Lord, and we have great kids, and we love them and praise the Lord for them. And Morgan, you're doing so good. I'm glad you're doing well. Raise your hand down there. Why don't you stand up? This is the young lady that just got burnt here, not, what, 3 weeks ago? And you're doing A-okay, amen? Give her a hand, yeah. So, amen. Thank you there, sweetheart. She's doing good. Good to see her back, and her bright cheer. She always cheers the room up when she comes in. And so praise the Lord for our young people. So pray for these youngsters that now have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that God would continue to do a work in their hearts and in their lives. Today, if you will, in 2 Timothy, when we begin reading in verse 1, when you think of the scripture, I don't know, I was trying to recall if I'd ever preached a sermon on this before. I keep all my sermon notes or thoughts, and I have for 45 years. When you get a lot of sermons like that, they either get stacked up on the computer, or they get stacked up in filing cabinets or boxes, and somebody has asked me before, said, well, aren't you ever afraid you're going to preach the same sermon twice? And I said, well, not really. I had a guy tell me one time, if a sermon's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching twice. Amen? But I can't recall ever preaching on this. I want to preach a message today on a pure conscience. A pure conscience. Let me give you a simple definition what a conscience. We all have a conscience. And a conscience, by definition, is an inner feeling. And it's an inner voice that acts on our behalf as a guide to the righteous or the rightness or the wrongness of our behavior. So we all have a conscience today. And the Bible addresses that and addresses some things about our conscience. Now think about the important role that it plays in our life. Many times it's because the way we go about and live our lives on a day-to-day basis, we may not give a lot of thought about our conscience, but it's very much a part of our everyday living. And by definition, it's that inner voice within us that acts as a guide that tells us the rightness or the wrongness of our behavior. And our behavior is so important in our Christian life. So think about the Apostle Paul. And Paul here is talking about young Timothy. And I like what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul here, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy now. This is his young son. He says, my dearly beloved son, that's in the ministry. He was in that, but it wasn't his birth son, but a son in the ministry. My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He says in verse 3, I thank God whom, Paul says, I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You might want to underline or look at that part there where Paul's saying to Timothy here, I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. And thinking about Paul and Timothy, and Paul saying here, I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this text in Scripture. Think about all those that have gone on before us or gone on ahead of us in Christianity, found their way into heaven and with all that is there, and to realize that that you and I have a responsibility to serve the Lord and to carry on. It's our time to serve. And one of these days, it'll not be our time. It'll be the next generation's time. And to be able to serve. And here Paul is saying here as he passes the torch on to young Timothy, he said, Paul is saying, I have served with my forefathers with a pure conscience. He says, greatly desiring in verse 4 to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Thank God for family. Thank God for grandparents and grandpas and grandmas. And here, this grandmother Lois had such an influence on Timothy. And then their mother Eunice have an influence on Timothy. And Paul says, I am persuaded in thee also, and wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me and his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, and for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, Paul says, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Pygillus and Hermogenes. And the Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he hath oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, and the Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So Paul starts out in this great chapter here in 2 Timothy, admonishing this great servant of the Lord, Timothy, and his co-worker in the Lord, called him a son in the faith, and what a tremendous servant Timothy is. But Paul had such an influence over him. But I want to go back to that verse 3. Because here Paul makes an interesting statement. He said, I serve my forefathers with a pure conscience. I say one of the things that you and I don't want to do is you don't want to serve down here in this world and then get to heaven. And then what are you going to say to your grandfather, grandmothers, or those that have gone before you, or your forefathers, or those in the Christian faith, and those that have walked the journey ahead of us down through time ahead? And so he says here that we want to make sure in this life, make sure there's nothing worse than having a guilty conscience or not a clear conscience. Paul says here, I have a pure conscience, desires to have a pure conscience. So in that, some things to think about here that he said, go over to Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. The first thing I want you to see is the Bible talks about many different things about this thing on a conscience. And keep in mind, it's that inner voice. For you and I, Acts 23, verse 1. It's that inner voice that it becomes a guide for you and I. Every one of us has a conscience. And it's that inner guide for you and I that helps us to decide between right and wrong, that will have an impact on our behavior and how important it is that we behave the way that God desires to behave. And notice that Paul said here, or Luke writing in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Oh, that you and I could say the same thing. Brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. In other words, don't let your head go to sleep at night. Don't lay your head down until you realize you did your very best. You gave it your all. You can clearly have a pure and a clean and a good conscience before the Lord. Here, the Apostle Paul was always a man who lived up to that light, and even when he was the greatest of sinners, we know that he still had a conscience before the Lord. He said that concerning himself, God, whom I served my forefathers with a pure conscience. Paul realized and knew who he was and where he came from, and but by the grace of God. Bob sang a moment ago about amazing grace and how you take a person like the Apostle Paul, who really his mission in life was raised a Pharisee, went about the lands and trying to destroy and to hinder Christianity with all of his ability. It was there that we find the Apostle Paul. Remember that? Before he became the Apostle Paul, was Saul, was found at Stephen's stoning. And so we find that during those times that even God can take the greatest of all sinners, and no matter what we've done, and no matter where we've been, and no matter what we've been through, and the decisions we've made in life, if God can forgive a man like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, he can forgive you and I, and then give us a clear and a clean and a pure conscience. Why is that so? Because God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, covers our sin. And so when God looks at the Apostle Paul, he doesn't see Saul that slew those Christians and stoned Stephen and carried out those things. You know what he sees? He sees the blood atonement of Christ covering his sin debt. So when God looks at you and I, and once you're saved, and once you come to know Christ, and once you find that amazing grace, the blood atonement of Christ covers our sin. And so we find here that Paul here had, and was explaining to Timothy here, a good conscience before the Lord. And I think it's important to realize, too, to keep in mind, that one of these days when you and I get to heaven, and we look forward to that time, that all those that have gone on before us and traveled on ahead, whether it's a relative or a Bible teacher or somebody that you know or somebody that impacted your life for Christ, you will have a chance to see in heaven. And so to think about that, you want to make sure that you have a good conscience before the Lord and do all that we can do. And don't live your life in such a way that you have that guilty conscience or conscience. Here he used the word a pure conscience before the Lord. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible also gives us a few other examples about our conscience. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we know that Paul, addressing the church at Corinth, addresses here the conscience, in this case, as being weak. And addressing the church here at Corinth, he says, and notice he starts back up there in verse 1, but the verse I want you to key in on is in verse 7. He says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, you know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, he says, edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, to the believing world, to those that have faith, there is one God, the Father, of whom all things of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, now here's the key verse, verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." Remember what I said a moment ago? The definition of a conscience is really that inner feeling or that inner voice or that inner thing that acts as a guide to the righteous or the wrongness of one's behavior. So what really impacts our conscience? It's really the Holy Spirit of God. And when you and I come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, we repent of our sin and we get saved and we come to know Christ, then we find that hugely impacts our conscience and our day-to-day living. And Paul says here, "I now live for Christ and I desire to live before my forefathers and to have a pure and a clean conscience, knowing that I'm doing all that I can do for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." But here at the church at Corinth, he addresses a weak conscience. And by that meaning, Paul gives advice here that we should not wound the weak consciences of those saints, lest in so doing we sin against Christ. We need above all things to be sane and sure in our knowledge, and that we may be sane and sure in our conclusion. We do not want to have a conscience that will strain at gnats and swallow a camel, he says here. And he really addresses this thing on idols. And that's why he really emphasizes here the point that there is none other God but one in verse 4. And he goes down and he points out here that it's important that we realize that not all consciences are strong, not all consciences are pure, not all are godly in Christ Jesus. That the Holy Spirit can have an impact on whether we have a good conscience, and the Holy Spirit can have an impact on whether we have a weak conscience and come to know him, that there is only one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you see, but I see in the world that I live in every day, there are people out there that do not believe in God. And so it comes across the airwaves, comes across the TVs, comes across the internet, and there are many out there that are professing a false faith and are no faith in God and or an evil world or evil thoughts. And you look at it today and to realize that we live in a world where you can have a pure and a good conscience or a weak and a corrupt and a conscience. And so you think about that, what's that old phrase, let your conscience be your guide. Well, be careful and do a check on your conscience and realizing it's the Holy Spirit of God that converts us and changes us to be a new creation. And Paul found that to be true in his life, and that where he once was weak and now he is strong. And so we find not only that, but Hebrews, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible also addresses not only a good conscience and a pure conscience, it addresses having a weak conscience, but also then an evil. Hebrews chapter 10, look at it in verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, Paul writing here, you get down to verse 22, he said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then notice he ties this together with, go back up to verse 22, "Then let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies moist with pure water, and then let us hold fast the profession of our faith." So here he addresses this in the scripture of an evil conscience. The expression here, really, an evil conscience can be almost startling in that the fact that, you know, can even a conscience become debased? Can a conscience become, corrupt? Yes, it absolutely can. And when you think about it here in Scripture, and that's why it goes on to say that we need to hold fast the profession of our faith and without wavering, and then considering one another unto love and to good works. And then here, I think one of the important verses in all the Bible is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's why it's important to get together. That's why it's important for the church to assemble together. And as the manner of some is, but then what? You come to the church to what? Exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The return of Christ. So as we realize that he's coming back one of these days, and the Bible's very clear, we must all give an account, and the books will be open, the book of life will be open, and it'll be determined whether or not your name, if it's written in the book of life. If your name's written in the book of life, and therefore having eternal salvation, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and eternal life. And it's important that we understand that in Sunday school we learned about today of searching the scriptures. And why that is so is because the Bible teaches about eternal life, life that is hereafter. See, my friend, the grave is not the end. This life is not the end. This life is just really the beginning. And upon death, the Bible's very clear, it's not death, it's just sleeping, it's just waiting for a while, waiting for that day as we see that day approaching. And so it's important as we gather together that we exhort and that we encourage and that we build up as we see that day approaching. And I like what Paul went on to say here. He says in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of this truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Here's a good verse if you think about this part of Scripture that can help you if you doubt your salvation or you doubt eternal security of the believer. If you can lose your salvation, the Bible says here there's no more sacrifice for sin. When you get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ offered his life to be the propitiation for our sin, to forgive us of our sin, our past, present, and future sin in our lives. You say, well, then what do we do if we sin? It's still covered under the blood, but we need to live godly in Christ Jesus and with a pure conscience. He says here in verse 27, "But a certain fearful looking of the judgment, the fire, indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." So there will be a time of judgment. There will be a time not only of looking in the book of life to see if your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, but there'll also be a time of judgment where we stand before the Lord and give an account of the works that we've done in this lifetime, having a good conscience. So the Bible very clearly teaches about a pure conscience, a good conscience. It also teaches about a weak conscience and then an evil conscience. It also, look over in Titus chapter 1. Let me show you this. The Bible also teaches and talks about a defiled conscience. You know, when you think about it, this world that we live in is a depraved world. By that meaning, it never ceases to amaze me, the depravity of man. One of the major Bible doctrines in all the Scripture is the depravity of man. By that meaning, the Bible is very clear. Romans 3, verse 10, that there are none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when you look at the world that we live in, it's no surprising to see the world continues to become more and more evil, more and more wicked. Why is that so? It's because of the depravity of man, the lostness of man, the lack of faith of having a pure conscience before God. So what the world really needs is Jesus Christ. What the world really needs is for those that are without Christ to come to know him and to believe in him and to trust in him. But here the Bible talks about a defiled conscience. Notice this in Titus chapter 1 And get down to verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, and being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. The Bible lays it out very clearly and talks about here a defiled conscience unto them. So, you know, we saw that back in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, the imaginations and the thoughts of the hearts of the people were only evil continually. So let me ask you this. If it was evil continually back in that day of Noah's day, and God reached out and told Noah, Noah, start building an ark, and he began to prepare because the world was so corrupt and so evil and so wicked and so sinful and so depraved, where does that leave our world today? I tell you what, everything was going on back in that day, you see going on today in this world. This is a depraved, wicked, and evil and sinful world that we live in. And what this world needs is not another politician that's going to come and save the day. You're still going to fight the evil and the difficulty and the challenge. Yes, it's important that we pray. And yes, it's important that you participate and be involved in. By the way, Michigan has their primary election on Tuesday, this Tuesday, 2 days. You got to look all the candidates over, all the parties over. You got to figure out what you're going to do. And I pray that you're participating in the primary election, and then for sure in the general election. You need to do your homework and look at the candidates that are out there, and then make a wise and a godly choice. Who would you choose and who you'd vote for? It's our responsibility, Romans chapter 13, that we pray for and support our government and pray for those leaders that serve in positions of leadership. To realize today, you don't have to look too far to realize in the world that we live in that we have people that have defiled consciences, that have evil consciences, that live in this depraved and sinful world that we live in. But the Bible makes it very clear. A defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. I look at that, and sometimes I see the things that are said, the things that are acted upon, the things that are carried out in the public arena, and I look at that and I say, oh, but the depravity of man, oh, but the evil of man, and what they need is Jesus Christ. What they need is the blood atonement of Christ, and that will begin to change their conscience and change their way of thinking. What they need, God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it defiled conscience. So not only do we see a good and a pure conscience, not only do you see a weak conscience here in the scripture, but we also see then an evil conscience and then a defiled conscience. Go over to John's gospel and let me show you that it's important that we realize that we pay attention to our conscience and especially the working of the Holy Spirit, which leads me to the fifth and final point on this today. And that is a convicting conscience. And the Bible says here when you get to John chapter 8, and you begin down here, and this is really the woman taken in adultery. Now, this is quite an interesting Bible story. When you look at it, John chapter 8, look at it in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes, which would be the lawyers of the day, and the Pharisees, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it being convicted by their what? By their own conscience. Remember that? When we said that your conscience is that inner voice or that inner part that allows you to determine between the rightness or the wrongness of your behavior. So in verse 9, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience went out one by one. And beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those that are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And so you find it's interesting here, these people, as they come, they really tried to set a trap for Jesus. They tried to put him on the spot. We found this woman. We've caught her in the very act of adultery. And they set her in the midst. But what they didn't realize, they were dealing with the Son of God. They were dealing with deity here. They were dealing with Jesus Christ that knows all things and knows our very hearts. So they said, "Do we obey the law of Moses?" Because in that day, in the Bible days, in the Old Testament, caught in adultery like that, you were taken out in stone. Well, I tell you what, in America, if you try to do that today, a lot of people would be stoned in America. But Jesus went a step farther. And here he took and then laid this out before them and, basically saying to them, "He that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." So realizing that, you know what they had to do? They had to do some soul searching right at that moment. They had to look inside, because once you look inside of our own depravity, and I realize my worst enemy, my greatest enemy is always me. I can't straighten you out. You got to straighten yourself out between you and God and the Holy Spirit. I got a full-time job working on me. And so to realize here, these people realized, that they had a conscience in their conscience. He laid it right back at them. And so their conscience began to deal with that. If you're without sin, cast the first stone. And they all began to leave one by one. Why did they begin to leave one by one? Because they all realized that we're all sinners and we've all sinned. And only but by the grace of God that Bob sang about a moment ago, can you and I come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So their conscience bear on them and realizing and pointed out to them that they are sinners. And they are, and for sure, we carry this sin in our lives. And we need an atonement. We need amazing grace. We need a way to be saved. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. By the way, I'd be careful about that in the local New Testament church too, because every once in a while you say, well, you might become aware or see somebody else doing something or saying something or acting a certain way, and you can become very judgmental very quick. It's a human nature. To be careful and to be wise about that, and don't be judgmental, and to think about this, oh, but by the grace of God, there could go you and I. If we're not by God's grace, it's the only way that allows you and I to live godly in Christ Jesus. And to realize this, Dr. Odom taught us that years ago, any person, any man, any woman, given the right circumstances, the right environment, the right place, at the wrong time, can succumb to any kind of temptation, any kind of sin. You say, well, I'm above. No, you're not above that. We're all, none of us are above that, above the law. It's a sad thing, because every once in a while I'll get news or hear news or this preacher or that missionary or this godly person who used to be a godly person has now fallen off the bandwagon and gone the wrong way. They've made a bad decision. They found themselves in a weak time of temptation, have succumbed to that and given into that. Why? It's because their conscience that God has given to you and I allows you and I to determine what is right and what is wrong in our behavior. So how do you control your behavior? You control your conscience. How do you control your conscience? By the Holy Spirit of God that converts you and I to Jesus Christ and walking with the Lord and making sure you put the Word of God into our hearts and into our lives. John chapter 5, search the Scriptures daily. We talked about it in Sunday school today. Search the Scriptures daily. The Word of God becomes your soul-saving mechanism. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The insurance policy that you and I have is saturate your mind and your heart and your conscience with the Word of God. Why? It'll give you a good conscience. It'll allow you the opportunity to be able to program, to put in the things you need to be able to make the right behavior choices in life, led by the Holy Spirit of God. So what are your choices today? Where's your conscience today? Paul made it very clear. He had a pure conscience. And you know what was on his mind? Is the forefathers that went before him. One of these days, my friend, you and I will be in heaven. And guess who will be there? All the forefathers and all those that have gone before us. You want to sit down and want to make sure that you've done your very best to do all that you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ with a good conscience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, God, we surrender all to you and give all this to you, Father, today, asking that in our hearts and in our minds, God, that we would have a good, clear, and clean conscience. Well, how do we do that, Father? We first must recognize that you are God and you are the only God. And Father, we worship you today. And so, Lord, today we also recognize that we are a sinner, that there are none righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, Father, today, realizing that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, you offered us that gift. And Father, many, if not all today in the sanctuary today, have accepted that gift. And I thank you for that gift of salvation, that we recognize one day that we were sinners and lost and needed Jesus Christ and trusted him as our Lord and as our Savior. Father, if there's one here today that has not yet received that gift, oh, that they would do that today, that you're offering them that gift of love, that gift of salvation, that gift that they can, well, they only reach out and take it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh God, today, that each and every one would be saved today and have a good, clear, and clean, and pure conscience before you. That we in that wisdom today then can make good behavioral choices in life. So Holy Spirit, come be our guide. Direct our steps. Direct our thoughts. And we beg of you today, lead us in the right behavior in serving you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving today. Amen. Let's stand together if you will today. If we can pray with you or you want to come pray on your own, you're welcome to do that. If you're here and you're not saved today, my friend, we'd invite you to come and let us take a Bible and show you how to accept that gift of salvation. Don't leave here without it. How's your conscience today? Do you have a pure, clean, good conscience led by the Holy Spirit of God? Or do you struggle with one of these other areas in the Christian life? I'd make sure you get a good, clean, and pure conscience like Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Brother Ron, would you lead us today in the invitation?
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The pass of sin too long.
Heavenly Father, God, today we pray that we would search the Scriptures daily. God, seek to have a pure conscience and a godly life in Christ Jesus, that our conscience would control our behavior in a godly way in serving you. And Father, we thank you for Paul and his message to Timothy and what an example he is in 2 Timothy 1. And realizing one of these days we'll take our last breath here on this earth and we'll be in heaven, literally, with all those that have gone on before us, our forefathers. And may we enter heaven with a good conscience and a pure conscience. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated just for a moment. And at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Dave Cuevas to come. And this last fall in 2019, we had a project going on here in the church, and it had to do with books and Bibles that were being gathered up and shipped to the Philippines. And we want to thank you all for your sacrifice and dedication in making that happen. And so Dave's going to give an update on that. And I think he has some slides he's going to show you on the fruits of your labor as you've given towards the Philippine project.
But Dave. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, so some good news from the Philippines. You know that last year, I think around October, November time, we collected a whole bunch of books and Bibles and everything else that we were going to send to the Philippines. And the books finally arrived. Three huge boxes, we sent them by ship, and it took a few months, but they finally got there. And these are some pictures that were sent from the three different places that we sent them to. I know it's kind of hard to read, kind of especially the little spot there on the bottom left there. But box number one was actually sent and received at the Convention Baptist Bible College in Bacolod City, Philippines. This is the Bible College. This is where someone had donated a whole bunch of study Bibles, and we actually wrapped those in wrapping paper because they were going to give them out as graduation gifts for the graduates. So that's what they're going to do this month. At the end of March, they're going to give those away. And then the remaining books that were received there are going to be placed in the library in that particular location. Box number two was sent and received at AFBC, which is Amazing Faith Baptist Church, and that's in Paranaque, Manila, Philippines. The Bibles and the children's books are going to be used for the youth and the children ministry there, and the remaining books are going to be just used for general church use there. So. And then the last one, box number three, was sent and received at LCEC, which is La Carlota City, Bacolod, Philippines. These books are being used for the Bible Training Institute, and the children's books are all going to be used for Sunday schools at that particular church. I'm sorry, at the La Carlota Evangelical Church, and the different outreaches that they do there. And then the remaining books will be distributed to the pastors that are there. So some good news there. If you have any questions about that, come and talk to either myself or Paul or Raul. I don't know if he's here today or not, but and just let us know if you have any questions about that. We do plan on continuing to collect books. We still have that box in the library there if you guys still want to keep doing that. And as we collect those and as we gather them together, when we have enough for a shipment, we'll find another place out there to assist. I think Raul was mentioning that there is another school or another church that would love to just participate in this as well. So that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. And it's good to see the fruit of that and being put to work down in the Philippines, and continue to pray for the ministry there. God will have his hand upon that and the servants that are being trained and raised up there in that part of the world. Services tonight at 6 o'clock. I encourage you to be back for that. We have a deacons and officers meeting on Tuesday night, and just a reminder for the men to be here for that. And then the Golden Agers, they have a sign-up sheet. Looks like there's a corned beef dinner coming up on March the 17th, Tuesday. If you're interested in that, go by and sign up at the Welcome Center, and if you would. And then also the men's golf outing, there's a sign-up sheet for that, for the golf outing on May 17th, 18th, and 19th. If you're golfing just on Sunday, only Sunday afternoon, it's $55. We're playing at Eagle Crest in Ypsilanti there, right by the Marriott, on Sunday afternoon. So feel free to come. If you're a guest visitor, we'd love to have you be a part of that on some men's outing. And then if you want to do the whole outing, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we'll be there that afternoon, but then we'll be Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday at Garland Resort in Lewiston, Michigan. So the whole package is $300. And that would give you two nights lodging, two breakfasts, golf on Sunday afternoon, 36 holes on Monday, 18 on Tuesday, and it covers all that. So it's a lot of fun, and just pray for good weather. We've seen some cold weather on those Monday mornings, especially last year, yeah. And so pray for that. Other than that, I think the Booth Brothers, there's a table set up in the foyer. I want to encourage you to begin to get your Booth Brothers tickets. The concert will be here on June the 5th. On that night, it's $20. And for regular general seating and $25 on the Artist Circle seating, see Bunny if you have any questions on the tickets out there. And those are available. I encourage you to get those tickets and get, I mean, June the 5th, that'll be here before you know it. It's just around the corner. And that, so we want to make sure we get the word out and on that, if you would. So other than that, Pernell, you're good to go on the prayer request, and you've made the announcement. So you had the prayer request here, and they're to drop these in the box out there. So in your bulletin is a prayer request, and that if you have someone here that you want to put the date on and fill that out, there's a red box at the Welcome Center. You can put that in, and then your prayer group is meeting on this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, right, from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock. So, and I appreciate Pernell doing that. And that, so continue to be much in prayer. Let's stand together, if you will. Good to see you in the Lord's house today. And let me just say this, regarding this virus thing that's going on, I know in a Baptist church, we're usually normally shaking hands and or whatever, but I understand this is going on right now, and it's pretty widespread all over the world right now. So, you know, I see people now doing what, the elbow tap or the foot tap or the not shaking hands at all. So during this virus uproar, whatever, if that's fine, and you won't seem unfriendly or whatever. So if you want to play it safe, by all means, play it safe. We don't want anybody. So far, I've not heard of anybody in Michigan been reported yet. So I mean, that's good. But pray for these other families around the world that are being hit by this. And so it's serious, and I think we need to take it serious. So be wise in what you do, and in the preparation of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for 2 Timothy chapter 1. And God, help us to live our lives in a way that we'd have a pure and godly conscience before you that would guide our behavior according to the Bible truths of the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of God's people and their giving to be able to help the work there in the Philippines. We do pray for our missionary family today. Brother Caleb Fielding, have your hand upon him. Then God, be with those that are sick and those that went through the earthquake down in the Cooksville area. God, many families there trying to recover from that. Thank you for your saving grace and your amazing grace today and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great afternoon.